Shalom v'brachot, peace and blessings to everyone who will be joining us today. We are entering our 10th Parsha for the Hebrew year 5781 entitled Meketz at the End. As we saw in last week's Parsha, we were introduced to Yaakov, Jacob's son, Yosef. In our Parsha this week, we are being introduced to Yosef in his new role as Yahweh's unrecognizable deliverer for his father, Jacob, Yaakov, Israel's family. Everything revealed in this Parsha is central into our being able to understand the prophetic revelation that is happening in this day regarding, number one, the Church of Christendom, number two, the awakening of the house of Yosef Ephraim contained within its existence, number three, the lifting of the veil upon our hearts to realize the possibility of our true Hebraic identity lying dormant within our heart. And finally, number four, the introduction of the revelation of the truth of Yahweh's promised restoration of the whole house of Israel in this day. As we said last week, failure to understand these principles will ultimately skew the entire scenario of end-time events within the biblical record. Therefore, may Yahweh give us ears to hear and a heart to receive His prophetic promises as we proceed. I welcome all who are our regular listeners as we continue on our insightful journey through the Torah, as well as those who will be joining us for the very first time. May our Abba Yahweh bless all who read and listen. I do like to make you aware each week that we do use the Orthodox Jewish Bible for our scripture references. If we do use another translation, then we will notate that for you so you will be aware. Also, so you will know, in our Parsha each week when we quote the scripture references from the OJB, I do include at times definitions and commentary because it helps add clarity and emphasis while we read, especially since the OJB does include numerous Hebrew wording and phrases. However, if you read from the OJB on your own, you won't see these. I just want you to be aware. My name is Joe Snipes, Yosef from Gates to Zion Ministries. Again, welcome, and let's go ahead and get started. We now enter into the second series of Torah portions that have to do with Yosef's pivotal role in Yahweh's eternal redemptive purposes regarding the nation of Israel. All of mankind will be affected by Yahweh's plan in time to come. As in last week's portion, we alluded to the prophetic words given to our Avinu, our father Avraham, concerning Israel's future captivity in Mitzrayim and their subsequent deliverance. Everything that is happening at this point in Israel's budding corporate identity is setting the stage for those words to be fulfilled. In fact, Yosef is very much playing a role in type and shadow of our blessed Master Yeshua. There are so many facts that can be pointed to, such as Yosef's picture of death and resurrection. He was thrown into the pit, then exalted to a place of supremacy in Mitzrayim, a type of the world. From here, he became Israel's savior and deliverer, and to Mitzrayim, Egypt. He was rejected by his own brothers, even as Master Yeshua was both familial and by those in Jewish leadership, citing the Pharisees and the Sadducees in that day, resulting in the Jewish nation itself being partially blinded to who he was in the process, citing Romans chapter 11. Finally, Yosef was revealed to his brothers, and there was a wonderful reunion with his whole family, all of which foreshadows the prophesied yet future reunion of the whole house of Israel and their recognition of him as Mashiach, Messiah, and Melech, King, all confirmed by the Nevi'im, the prophets of the Tanakh, Hebrew scripture, citing Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 30, also Yehezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 37, and Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 11. and the Ketuvei HaNotzrim, the writings of the Nazarenes, the Messianic scriptures citing Maasim, Acts chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 21, and also Hitgalut, Revelation chapter 11, and verse 15. We are quoting here from Zechariah chapter 12, and verse 10. And I will pour out upon Bayit Dovid, the house of David, and upon the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, the Ruach, the spirit of Chen, of grace, and of Tachaninim, supplications for favor, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. We are also quoting from Romans chapter 11, verse 25 through 27. For I do not want you to be unaware, Achim b'Mashiach, brothers in Messiah, of this raz, this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, about a hardening in part has come over Israel, until the full number of the goyim, the nations, has come in. And so Klal Israel, the community of Israel, shall be delivered as it is written, out of Zion, shall come the Goel, the deliverer, redeemer. He will turn away, remove Pesha, rebellion, transgression, from Yaakov, from Jacob. And this will be my berit, my covenant with them, and take away their sins. While all of this is true and of supreme importance, I believe there is still something more Yahweh would have us consider. Another aspect which is on the sod or the hidden level within the particular portion of the Torah we are presently looking at. For the sake of clarification, I am not in any way lessening the supreme value of the scriptures regarding our eternal redemption so clearly set forth in this Torah portion. In fact, there are many other Messianic ministries available online that do cover this all-important truth. I only wish to defer to look at another revelation held in this parsha. When this aspect comes to light, the wonderful prismic qualities of Torah will cause Yahweh's full truth to begin to come into view. Yahweh's unfathomable mind is so awesome. Yet, he allows us glimpses into those hidden treasures through the revelatory ministry of his Haruach HaKodesh, the spirit of his holiness. The nation of Israel is so much more than its accepted traditional Jewishness has allowed to be conveyed. As we are about to see, there is also within this nation a noticeably clear, inherent, and inclusive non-Jewish element, the truth of which has been skewed using the seemingly innocent term Gentile. The inclusion of this one term has succeeded in the dumbing down of Yahweh's most powerful intentions surrounding the existence of the nation of Israel. This truth is contained here in our Torah portion. Warning, seeing it will change everything. We are living in a most wonderful time of restoration. Yahweh is bringing back the divided house of Israel to be one people, under one king, and one shepherd. Most within the confines of Orthodox religion have no idea that the nation of Israel was divided into two separate houses over 2,700 years ago. Yet it is true. There is within the prophetic writings of Amos, in the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, and the book of Maasim, Acts, in the Messianic writings, errantly referred to as the New Testament, a prophetic promise concerning the divided house of Israel. It says the fallen tent of David, of his tabernacle, will be raised up. It means Yahweh's holy nation of Israel, which was divided and scattered after the death of David's son, Shlomo, Solomon, is to be regathered and restored. Then this restored whole house of Israel will worship Yahweh once again in spirit and in truth, citing Amos chapter 9, verse 11, in Maasim, Acts chapter 15, verse 16. This includes the Jewish house, Yehuda, Judah, along with the non-Jewish house represented in the scripture as the house of Yosef, Ephraim. Both houses and their companions are identified as Israel, citing there are those individuals and even nations who are scripturally classified as true Gentiles. This means they have no direct genetic link or heritage with Israel through the physical Zerah, the seed of Avraham. However, they may also be made up a part of Israel through their belief upon Yeshua HaMashiach as the Savior and Redeemer of Israel and the whole world. The non-Jewish house of Yosef Ephraim lost their identity due to their assimilation, first into Assyrian captivity, followed by their further historical scatterings among the nations. Citing, note Yahweh never lost them. He knew where they had been all along. The term lost identifies them and their relation to Israel. Today, Yehuda, the Jewish house of Israel, has deemed these assimilated Israelites to wrongly be considered as holy Gentile. This is because of their having been scattered among the nations of pagan, idolatrous, and non-Torah observant people. Their children are referred to as strange, citing this word in Hebrew is zur, meaning, among other things, strange, as in a harlot or prostitute. Thus, the product of these unions are seen by Yehuda, Judah, as unclean to the Jewish mindset. From this understanding, in light of the Torah, these succeeding generations are recognized by rabbinic authority as completely Gentile, and therefore to be completely rejected. This can be confirmed by examining Tractate Yebamot 17a in the Jewish traditional writings of the Talmud, the Oral Torah, citing the Babylonian Talmud. Further, in a reference in the prophetic book of Obadiah, in the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, verse 18, the rabbinic commentary makes this clear statement. Only by the joining together of the Jewish house of Yehuda and the house of Yosef will the nation of Israel be able to completely defeat the multi-nationed entity identified as Edom, citing end-time multi-nation composite under the control of the anti-Mashiach, whose goal is the destruction of the nation of Israel and world domination. However, this Israelite union of Yehuda, Judah, and Yosef Ephraim will deliver Israel from this intended annihilation, citing C. Babylonian Talmud Tractate Baba Batra 123b. The truth, however, is that these scattered people from among the house of Yosef Ephraim, the northern house or kingdom, while not Jewish, are regardless still considered to be Israel by Yahweh. So, considering this, the rest of our time in this parsha will be spent examining the prophetic sign provided for us by Yahweh in his Torah of Yosef's future generations, a sign revealing how this future reunion of these two houses finds its root here in this very parsha. A Hebraic idiom. Hebraic idioms are statements used to posture prophetic scenarios by contrasting actual historical happenings with their future counterparts. It is a very common method of rabbinic Hebraic teaching practice. One of these idioms states, Ma'aseh Avot Simon Levanim, the deeds of the fathers are signposts to the children. In other words, the things that happen to the fathers will happen to their children. What we are about to consider concerning Yosef and his dealings with his brothers is just such a situation. What happened to Yosef? We saw last week how that Yosef's brothers had concocted a plan to get rid of him. It is implemented by his brothers as a way to get around actually murdering him. They threw him into a pit and then sold him to a traveling band of Ishmaelite merchants. They then sold Yosef as a bond slave into the house of one of Pharaoh's top men, Potiphar, the captain of the guard. This portion of the Torah covers Yosef's rise and fall and rise again, bringing us to our present parsha, which still finds Yosef in prison. As we remember from last week, the same butler that forgot about Yosef before, suddenly remembers him. He watches the unsuccessful attempts through Pharaoh's magicians and wise men to attempt to interpret the two dreams Pharaoh had. In the process, the butler remembers Yosef and how his ability to interpret dreams resulted in his release from prison and being restored in service in Pharaoh's house. He tells Pharaoh, and Yosef is summoned to appear before the king of Mitzrayim of Egypt. Here is just a note. This is Yosef's third time of being stripped. Only this time, he strips himself, citing why. This shows that the sense of Yosef's fleshly esteem and strength, which was a natural part of his youth, had finally been touched. He willingly stripped himself in order to come to Yahweh's next level in his eternal purpose. The principle of the execution stake had reached its goal. This can also be seen in Yosef's words of humility. He deferred credit for the ability to interpret dreams from something within himself. He clearly gave Yahweh the glory. Yosef's ability to make Yahweh's purposes known to Pharaoh was not his. It belonged solely to Yahweh. Now let us fast forward a little bit to the moment when Yosef's brothers have initially come into his presence for the first time. What happens? Citing Bereshit, Genesis chapter 42 and verse 8, and Yosef recognized his achim, his brothers, but they recognized not him. Yosef's brothers, all except the youngest, Benjamin, came before him and prostrated themselves to him. We are told that Yosef immediately recognized them, but they had no idea who he was. Why? Well, we are told that first, he was older. He is now 30 years old, citing chapter 41, verse 46. This means that Yosef at this point had been in Mitzrayim for 13 years. The number 13 in Hebrew understanding means love. It is the love of Yahweh that is bringing about the restoration of Yosef with his family. But beyond this, he did not look like a Hebrew anymore, citing chapter 41, verse 42. He had taken on the appearance of a Mitzri, an Egyptian. He did not speak Hebrew in the presence of his brothers. In fact, he used an interpreter to communicate, citing chapter 42, verse 23. So his brothers were completely in the dark as to his real identity. This brings us back to our Hebraic idiom we referred to earlier, Ma'aseh Avot Simon Lebanim. The deeds of the fathers are signposts to the children. Through Yosef's assimilation into the culture of Mitzrayim of Egypt, he no longer could be identified with his Hebraic identity. This is exactly what is destined to happen to the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, the house of Israel, the house of Yosef Ephraim, in the future. They will be assimilated into the identity and culture of the multifaceted nation of their Assyrian captors. As a result, they will lose their Hebraic identity and connection to the nation of Israel. The loss of their true Hebraic identity will continue over 2,730 years to the present. Now, today, Yahweh's promise through the writings of the Nevi'im, the prophets, concerning the awakening of the house of Yosef Ephraim is happening. Millions within the realm of the Church of Christendom are suddenly realizing their forgotten identity and culture. All across the world, people are realizing who they really are. No, they are not a part of the Jewish house of Israel. However, they are still a part of Israel. They are a part of what the scriptures prophetically term the scattered, outcast, northern, non-Jewish house of Israel, citing Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 12. Yehuda, the Jewish house, has always been readily recognizable. Only now, today, as the repatriation process is taking place, are those from the non-Jewish house, the house of Yosef Ephraim, are also becoming identifiable. The history of Yosef's future generations. in the not-too-distant future of the two sons born to Yosef while in Mitzrayim. Both will be adopted by their grandfather, Jacob. Both boys were given an inheritance as legally qualified family heirs. These two sons, Manasseh, and Ephraim, were given their father, Yosef's place among his other brothers, thus making up the 12 tribes of Israel. The future history of these 12 tribes is not good. Shlomo, Solomon, Melech, King David's son, succumbs to the worship of idols and to taking foreign wives. In turn, Yahweh brings judgment upon Israel. The nation is divided into northern and southern houses and or kingdoms. Yet, as an act of mercy, because of his father David, Yahweh would not allow this judgment to occur during Solomon's lifetime. Instead, it would come to pass during the time of his son, Rehoboam, citing Melachim Aleph, 1 Kings chapters 11 through 12. Long story short, the elders from the tribes of the northern Israel who had served Solomon, Rehoboam's father, had come to him with a request. They asked him to stop the forced labor on the first Hakal, the temple, which had been started by his father. Now that the Hakal, the temple, was finished, there was no more need for the forced labor to continue. Rehoboam went to receive counsel from his father's elders. They said it was a good thing. However, he also went to his own elders and explained the request. They disagreed and told him to increase the labors of the northern tribes so they would fear and continue to serve him. Therefore, Rehoboam refused to honor the request of the northern elders. When they heard their request had been denied, they rebelled and split away from their southern counterpart. Israel was then divided into 10 northern tribes, which retained the moniker as the House of Israel and also became known as the House of Yosef Ephraim. The two southern tribes became known collectively as the House of Yehuda, Judah. This is where the title Jewish or Jew comes from. Rehoboam heard what had happened. He gathered all the men of Yehuda, Judah, to go up and to stop the rebellion of the northern tribes. In the process, he was met by a Nabi, a prophet, Shimei, who brought a word from Yahweh telling Rehoboam and his men not to go up and fight with his brothers against the northern tribes. This was followed by a very curious statement, reciting Melachim Aleph, 1 Kings chapter 12, the first part of verse 24. For this thing is from me, meaning from Yahweh. How could the division of Israel as a nation be of Yahweh? Again, we see the Hebraic idiom we quoted above coming to play. For your information, you will note that in our written Parsha, that there is a link to an article called Restoration 101, The Fundamental Principles of the Restoration of the Whole House of Israel. In that article, you will come to the understanding of the division of the nation of Israel into two distinct houses and kingdoms, and it will help you understand more of what we're citing here in our Torah Parsha. The northern tribes are taken captive by Assyria. After the split, the northern tribes of Israel began a downward spiral into paganism, idolatry, and sexual uncleanness. Finally, Yahweh had enough. He had sent the Nevi'im, the prophets, to them over and over again. Yet they refused to repent and return to the ancient paths of his Torah. Therefore, beginning with the year 740 BCE, the nation of Assyria began a multi-year campaign against the northern tribes. In basically three dispersions, the second being in 734 BCE, much of these tribes were taken into captivity into Assyria. However, many of those from the northern tribes went down to the southern house of Yehuda, Judah, in order to escape being taken captive into Syria. by 722 BCE. The last dispersion was complete, with the last of the northern Israelite rulers being removed. Assyria itself was a composite of the many nations which they had conquered. It was made up of many people groups with various customs and cultures, socioeconomic and religious. One of the ways Assyria used to break the spirit of its captives was to assimilate them into the many people groups which made up their nation, different than their own. In time, as these captives became assimilated, they would lose their national cultural identity. These northern Israelites followed suit. After a few generations, they lost all appearance of their Israelite heritage and culture. Interesting, the name of Yosef's oldest son, Manasseh, means who makes to forget. This is exactly what ended up happening to the northern tribes of the house of Yosef Ephraim. In time, they were made to forget their Hebraic Israelite identity. Now, look at Yosef. As we said above, he had lost all identity as a Hebrew. In every way, he resembled a Mitzri, an Egyptian. Even so, as the Hebraic idiom we learned above states, Yosef's children, too, lost all their Hebraic identity due to their captivity and assimilation into the Assyrian Empire. From this place of captivity, over time, these assimilated Israelites began to migrate from Assyria into other nations, thus becoming scattered further and further as time marched on. We must always remember that Yahweh is a covenant-keeping mighty one. He had made a promise to Avraham concerning his multitudinous zera, his physical seed, that they would find their way into all the nations of the earth. We touched on this in our earlier Torah Parsha, Lech Lecha, citing Bereshit Genesis chapter 12. Thus, Avraham and his progeny were given the blessing of multiplicity. In Yaakov, Jacob's blessing of Ephraim, Joseph's second son, which he, by the sovereign choice of Yahweh, was made to assume the place of Bechor, the firstborn, despite Yosef's protest. Look at the words which describe the prophecy of Ephraim's descendants. We're quoting from the New American Standard Bible here, Bereshit, Genesis chapter 48, verse 19. But his father, Jacob, refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He, Manasseh, also will become a people, and he also will be great. However, his younger brother, Ephraim, shall be greater than he." Manasseh, and his Ephraim's descendants will become a multitude of nations. The last part of the above statement is almost exactly the same wording that Yahweh gave to Avinu, our father Avraham, in his prophetic promise of multiplicity. Here, we're quoting from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 17, verses 3 through 4. "And Avram fell on his face, and Elohim, the Mighty One, talked with him, saying, As for me, Hine, behold, my brit, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be an Ab, the father of many goyim, of many nations." The house of Ephraim, which descends from their Abba, their father, Yosef, holds the key to Yahweh's fulfillment of multiplicity promised to Avraham and his seed. The house of Yehuda, Judah, the Jewish part of Israel's equation of the whole house, cannot fulfill this part of Yahweh's promise alone. Even today, you can count the Jewish people. There are some 15 to 16 million Jewish people in the world. However, through Ephraim and his scattering among the nations, Yahweh has been silently filling the world with Israelites for these past few thousand years. Now we can understand the meaning of Yahweh's words through the Nabi, the prophet, that the division of Israel was from him. The division would lead to Ephraim's scattering and their multiplicity, citing Ephraim means doubly blessed. These Israelites like their ancestors who were first scattered, have lost and forgotten who they are. However, like their Abba Yosef, they can immediately recognize their Jewish brothers, despite the fact that their Jewish brethren can't recognize them. In many cases, much of Ephraim is to be found within what we know today as the organized Church of Christendom. They love the Mighty One of Israel, but are ignorant of their probable Hebraic heritage. They are still Torahless and act that way. There is a great sense of contention between these brothers. However, Yahweh today is fulfilling a great promise he made through Moshe in the Torah. Many people say that there is no prophecy in Torah. This statement could not be further from the truth. A prophesied great awakening and return of scattered Israel. We'll be quoting here from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the Baracha, the blessing, and the Kalala, the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt cause them to return to thy heart among the Kol HaGoyim, all the nations, whither Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your Mighty One, have driven thee, and shalt return unto Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your Mighty One, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee today, thou and thy benim, your sons, bekol levavka uvekol nafsheka, with all your heart and with all your soul, that then Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your Mighty One, will bring you back from the galut, from the exile, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from Kol Ha'amin, all the peoples, whither Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your Mighty One, hath dispersed thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of Shemaim, of the heavens, from thence will Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your Mighty One, gather thee, and from thence will he bring thee back. And Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your Mighty One, will bring thee into Haaretz, the land, which Avoteka, your fathers, possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above Avoteka, your fathers. Did you read this? There are two gatherings spoken of here. Yahweh promised that the day would come when those of the scattered house of Israel, Yosef Ephraim, would return to his Torah. They would come to their senses among the nations where they had gone. They will begin to remember, turn and make teshuva, repentance, and return, come back to his Torah, and pursue his commandments. He will gather his scattered people, citing the house of Yosef Ephraim. He will cause these regathered people from the scattering and galut, the exile among the nations, to return and possess the land of Israel. They, along with their brothers from the Jewish house, as promised to their avot, to their fathers, Baruch Hashem Yahweh. Now, some will say, but isn't Yehuda, Judah, house of Israel, found among the nations too? Yes, they are. In fact, it wasn't long after the northern house of Israel went into captivity into Assyria that the southern house was taken captive too. The house of Yehuda, Judah, was taken into Babylon approximately 586 BCE. They were there for almost 70 years. However, while they were there, they never forgot who they were. They were never completely assimilated into Babylonian culture. Even after Israel's worst defeat following the Bar Kokhba rebellion against Rome, mid-130 CE or AD, the Jewish people suffered terribly. They were dispersed among the nations. Israel as a viable and recognized nation ceased to physically exist. In spite of this, Jewish Israel did not and has not lost their identity and culture. Only the house of Yosef Ephraim fits that description. In fact, in the writings of the Nabi, the prophet Yeshayahu Isaiah, there are two different words used to describe those from the two houses of Israel. We have cited them earlier, but here is the quote again below. We are quoting from Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 through 12. And in Yom Hahu, that day, there shall be a Shoresh Ishai, a root of Jesse, which shall stand for a nes, a banner for the peoples. To him Mashiach will the Goyim, the nations, seek, and his Menucha, his resting place, shall be Kavod, glorious. And it shall come to pass in Yom Hahu, that day, that Adonai Yahweh shall set his Yad, his hand, again the second time, to recover She'ar, the remnant of his people, which shall be left as survivors from Assyria and from Mizraim, Egypt, and from Patros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamat, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall raise up a nes, a banner, that is, send a signal for the Goyim, the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Yehuda, Judah, from the four corners of the Haaretz, the land. Notice, in the last verse above, the passage, the emphasized words, this is how Yahweh describes those from each of the two houses who have been scattered or dispersed into all the nations. Those of the house of Yosef Ephraim are said to be outcast. This perfectly describes those of the northern kingdom, that house, because they were assimilated first into Assyria and then into all the nations. As a result, they lost both their cultural and national heritage as Israelites. The house of Yehuda, Judah, on the other hand, while having been also scattered, are identified as the dispersed of Yehuda. Why? Because while they too were forced out of the land of Israel, they managed to retain their cultural national identity. Today, many rabbis, especially in the land of Israel and also among the Chassidim, the ultra-Jewish Orthodox, know and believe in the return of Ephraim, both to the Mighty One of Israel and to the land itself. While they will not discuss the possibility of the Jesus of the Church of Christendom being the true Messiah of Israel, they do believe that whoever comes and is able to regather all Israel back to the land will be the chosen Mashiach, the Messiah. Just like Yosef was able to bring his family together, so the true Mashiach, the Messiah of Yahweh, will too. We're quoting here from Yeshayahu, Isaiah 49, verses 5 through 6. And now saith Hashem Yahweh, my Yotzer, the one creator who forms from the Beten, from the womb, to be an Ebed, a servant of him, to bring back Jacob to him, so that Israel would be gathered to him, so shall I, Mashiach, be honored in the eyes of Hashem Yahweh, and Elohai, my mighty one, shall be my oats, my strength. And he said, is it too small a thing that thou, Mashiach, shouldest be a bed servant to me to raise up the Shiftei Yaakov, the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back the Netzorei Israel, the preserved of Israel, the Sharit, the remainder? I will also give thee for Or Goyim, a light to the nations, that thou mayest be my Yeshua, my salvation, unto the Ketzi Haaretz, the end of the earth. The judgment on Ephraim is lifted. It is very interesting. Under the insight given by Yahweh through his Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, you can begin to see into Yahweh's prophetic timeline. In the book of Yehezekiel, Ezekiel, we are told that Yahweh has called a judgment to be placed upon the northern house of Israel, 1 year for every day of their iniquity, their Torahlessness, for a total of 390 years. We're quoting here from Yehezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. Lie thou upon thy left side, and lay the avon, the bayit Israel, the iniquity, the Torahlessness of the house of Israel, upon it, according to the mispar, the number of the yamim, the days, that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their avon, their iniquity, their Torahlessness. For I have laid upon thee the shanim, the years of their avon, their iniquity and their torlessness, according to the mispar, the number of the yamim, the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the avon, the bayit Israel, iniquity, the torlessness of the house of Israel. Now Yahweh has established in the Torah that if Israel fails to make teshuvah, repentance, and return to him when they are disciplined, he will multiply their judgment by 7. Recording here from Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 23 through 24. And if you will not be corrected by me, but will walk keri, contrary, hostile unto me, then will I also walk bekeri, contrary, hostile unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your chatot, for your sins. If you take 390 and multiply it by 7, you get 2,730 years. If you take the time when Ephraim was taken captive into Assyria, depending on which date you use, 734 BCE, the start of Assyria's second major campaign, or 722 BCE, the end, you will come up with a date on our Gregorian calendar of sometime in the mid-1990s or as late as the year 2008. So what we are seeing is Yahweh in the mid-1990s began to open the eyes of scattered Ephraim, many within the Church of System of Christendom, who had been studying Hebraic roots for years, some since the 1980s, began to realize not only did their faith have a Hebraic root, but they had one too. Much of Ephraim, who has been asleep within the walls of the Church of Christendom, began to wake up. Suddenly, the desire to return to Torah burned in their hearts. They began to leave the paganized ways of the modern Church of Christendom and return to a true Hebraic worship of Yahweh as their mighty one. They began to learn about and keep the Moedim, the appointed times, and Chagim, the feast of Yahweh. He gave these celebrations to the whole house of Israel, not just to the Jewish house. They began to allow Yahweh, by his Haruch HaKodesh, the Spirit of his Holiness, to place the Jesus they had believed upon, according to the Church of Christendom's view, back into his proper Jewish Hebraic setting. In turn, they realized that Adon Lord Yeshua never taught that the Torah had passed away, or that Israel, as Yahweh's chosen nation, had been replaced by another entity known as church. They learned that the Mighty One of Israel has a name, and that true name of his son is Yeshua, not the anglicized name of Jesus. The promise Yahweh made to Avraham is suddenly becoming more of a viable reality. There's still a lot of work to be done before the two houses can be made one again. But that's something Yahweh will work out in his infinite wisdom. The fact that it's even happening is a miracle in itself. You can read more about this prophesied reunion in the book of Yehezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 37. We don't have the time here to go into all that surrounds this great Hebraic restoration. We will touch more on this in our next parsha, as Yosef reveals himself to his brothers and to his Abba, his father, Yaakov, Jacob. Hopefully, we have been able to present enough of this wonderful restoration truth hidden within the pages of our Torah portion. It will encourage those who know the reality of this prophetic call to keep reaching out with expectancy to Yahweh for his fullness of his promise to be realized. Also, for those who may have just encountered this revelation for the first time, may it cause a fire to be kindled in your heart to discover all that Yahweh has for you. May Yahweh, by his Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of his Holiness, awaken you to your possible true Hebraic identity and to begin taking your place in this last day restoration. The hour is critical. Today is the day, and now is the time. Let Yahweh, by his Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of his Holiness, shine his light into your heart and reveal the place he has for you in his restoration of the whole house of Israel. The tabernacle, the tent of David, is being raised up and restored, citing Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. This will bring about the greatest event known to all of mankind, the return of our blessed Adon Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, Melech HaMelechim, Adon V'Adonim, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Amen. We say the following blessing as we continue each week's study of the Torah, Chazak U'Baruch, strength and blessing.